This morning, something the Lord dropped into my heart, I believe. We all know the story of the feeding of the 5,000 people, where the Lord took five loaves and two fish, and with those five loaves and two fish that the little boy brought to the gathering, he fed 5,000 men. We all know men can eat a lot. What about little ladies and the children? But what occurred to me was that those five loaves and two fish were enough. Jesus made them enough. It's not as though he went to a bakery and got somebody to supply a whole lot more loaves, and he sent somebody to fish to fetch a whole lot more fish. Those five loaves and two fish were enough for that crowd of people. And everything that the Lord does is intentional. It all forms this incredibly complex, beautiful, precious picture for us. And when we talk about, we will be sharing communion a little later on. When we talk about the communion, sometimes it's quite a mind shift to get around the fact that one man died on the cross. And that one man's sacrifice was enough for thousands of millions of people's sin. But you know what? Jesus made it enough. And for me, that was a revelation this morning. And that's a bit about what I'm going to be talking about today is revelation. So thank you, Johan. And thank you, all of you. And I hope that you did take the opportunity to just let go of the things that are holding you back. One of the things that we all need to understand fully is that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God except me. That's all. Nothing else. No demonic force, no other person, no social structure, no government, no political system, just me. So if you're feeling far from God, if you're feeling that it's difficult, just let go of whatever it is that's holding you back and separating you from Him. Okay. I almost feel as though I don't want to preach today. Do you want to go home? Should I? Must I? Maybe I will. It took me long enough to prepare. Before I begin, I just want to remind all of us, voordat ek begin, vandag is meeste Engels, enig iemand wat enige woord of frase of beginsel nie verstaan nie, moet asseblief net jou hand opsteek, ons is min vandag, so ons kan letterlik dit net op die oomblik vir jou uitklaar. Okay, that's, hopefully you won't need to do that, but if you do, please do. Why do we preach? I mean, what's it about? Why do we actually listen to somebody standing up here and telling us something every Sunday? And I think one of the things we need to understand is, yes, we may have heard a lot of what is said before, but you may actually hear something new. But what we also need to understand is that we will often be equipped by what we hear to be able to share it with other people better. And for me, that is of great value. So whomever the Lord chooses to teach you or be instrumental in sharing something with you, it doesn't matter who they are. Be humble enough, be receptive enough to receive what the Lord is saying through that person. And the aim of today's message is to help us to understand that each one of us has value and purpose. And that's a lot about what's been happening this morning, isn't it? That is why the Lord created us. And very importantly, the other thing I want to talk about is how to go about finding out what that value and purpose are so that we can live in the truth of them during our lives here on the earth. So that's why I've said you have value and purpose. And to introduce it, let me ask the following questions. Do any of you wonder sometimes or even often about your value or purpose or why you're here? Anybody? Yeah, it's a fairly general thing, I think. And I have to say that over the years, I've often done so, and particularly before I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I mean, my life seemed to be completely pointless. It had no purpose. I couldn't understand why I existed. I couldn't understand why I'd ever been born. I really couldn't until I encountered the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And He revealed to me what His purpose was in creating me And it's a progressive thing. It's a progressive revelation that we all receive. Does it sometimes happen to you as a Christian disciple, that means now that you are saved, that the Lord feels very distant to you, far away, and perhaps not even really interested in you or your life? And do you sometimes maybe even feel alone or abandoned? Anybody here? Nobody? Yeah, one or two. Okay, you're honest. Thank you. How many of us have heard people saying things along these lines? The next slide, Rina. Life is hard, then you die. So why don't you just give up? Life is hard, then you die. Then they throw dirt in your face, then the worms eat you. Be grateful it happens in that order. Wow, what inspiring words. Aren't they full of hope? And don't they give you a sense of destiny? Is it any wonder that the people in the world who are not Christian disciples live without hope? Living to try to satisfy their now lusts, which might be for money or possessions or recognition or even sexual, which they can't do. Lust is never satisfied. Has anybody ever experienced that? Lust is never satisfied. It just gets bigger and bigger. It's a big, ugly, hungry demon, really. Such people have no understanding of a future or purpose beyond today. People who say that kind of thing really don't. And that's what's happened with all the, or many of the philosophies that are actually promoted today in our schools. Our children have been told lies about evolution and all kinds of other stuff. We won't get into that, though. I think very often we have a completely false idea of who the Lord is and of his attitude toward people, even us as Christian disciples. And we, people in the world and us, have had our image of who he is and what he's like formed by what we've been taught as we've grown up, instead of allowing him to reveal himself to us. And perhaps this picture portrays the way that many people think of the Lord. An angry old man with a long white beard and a stick with which to whack you when you do something he doesn't like. Anybody here ever thought of him like that? Have you ever thought, has anybody ever said to you, that's what God is like? Have you ever thought that God is like that? And of course, there's the way that the enemy is portrayed in the world. That is something like this next picture. Cute little red person with a trident. As a matter of interest, have you ever thought about what that trident, that three-pronged fork, is for? Any ideas? What do you think it would be for? Anybody? Into the fire! Torment. Terrible, isn't it? But that's the picture that we are shown in the world. But the truth with both these cases could hardly be further from what these images portray. And the most superficial reading of the scriptures will very quickly put anyone who honestly wants to know what the Lord is like and how he feels about people right. The scriptures also very quickly show us the true character and nature of the enemy. Let's take the picture off. Don't like it. Can we blank it? Yay, thank you. There's certain basics to the life of a Christian disciple. Just don't look at that for now. Just look at me. That need to be in place if we're ever to grow in our relationship with the Lord and to become fruitful for him or in his opinion. And apart from the obvious basics, salvation by believing in and receiving the work of Christ on the cross, the believer's baptism in water, baptism in the Holy Spirit, we need, by faith if necessary, to accept and believe that Scripture is God-breathed and that it is true. This is very important. And if there's anybody here today who actually hasn't got that, hasn't really understood that Scripture, that the Bible is true, please will you speak to Anton or your cell group leader or to me so that we can help you. The fact is that the Bible is a historically accurate book that has been shown to be so by many, many scholars over and over again. There are numerous examples of people who have tried earnestly to discredit the Bible, but those who are honest about it have found that it is completely reliable. Archaeological discoveries have again and again confirmed the truth of the biblical account or record. And anything that appears to discredit the Bible will always be found to be false in some way. That's just how it is. You will always find that in the end, it will be shown to be false. And, of course, the most powerful thing of all is that the lives of people who have committed to living according to the principles in the Bible will testify to its veracity or its truth. Now, we know that the Scripture tells us that knowing the truth will set us free, and that's where the Scripture comes in, John 8:31 and 32. Jesus said. This is the Lord speaking. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, so he's speaking to his disciples, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So what he's saying here is someone who is his disciple, in other words, someone who is actively following him, is someone who remains faithful to what he says. And then he says, and you will know the truth. In other words, what he says is true, is what he's saying. And that truth, that which Jesus says, will set you free. And that's what we were talking about this morning. Freedom, I spoke about it a few weeks ago, freedom from sin can only come through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay. The next slide gives us the Merriam-Webster dictionary definition of the word revelation. There it is. So revelation means an act of revealing or communicating divine truth. So that's what Jesus was talking about, truth. Something that is revealed by God to humans. An act of revealing to view or making known. Something that is revealed, especially an enlightening or astonishing disclosure. A pleasant, often enlightening surprise. So revelation is where something is uncovered, where it is made known to one. Okay, so we'll get a little bit deeper into that now. Before we do that, though, I want to speak about this just to make it very clear. There's a difference between the effects of knowledge, wisdom, and revelation. So there are knowledge, wisdom, and revelation. But the effects of each is different. Knowledge is where we have a collection of data or information. It's useful in that it can help us to make informed decisions. If you think about driving a motor car, the first thing you have to do is you have to study to obtain your driver's license, because if you don't study the road signs and the road markings and the various rules of the road, you will cause an accident if you get into a motor car. That is just how it is. So that knowledge that we obtain by studying the K53 equips us for the next step. Okay. Wisdom is where we know how to apply the knowledge that we have correctly. So the decisions we do make are the best that they can be. So that in the case of the motor car, now you've learned to drive, you've gone through the whole thing, you've succeeded in your driver's test, you're now driving a car. When you're driving along, you see a solid white line on your side of the road, you know that wisdom is to obey that road marking, because there are consequences if you don't. If you cross that solid white line and you're on a blind rise and somebody comes over the hill, you're both dead. Okay, so that is wisdom in a way. The effect of revelation is where the knowledge that we have has changed who we are and how we live. We sometimes refer to revelation as resulting in heart knowledge, which isn't a bad way to think about it, if we accept that our heart is at the core of our being. In other words, revelation shapes the way that we behave or react in certain situations. Now, Johan, I need you to volunteer, please. Thank you. There is. That's like we are before we have revelation of who Jesus is and before we're saved. But now, there we are. We're wandering about, and suddenly somebody says to us, there's a gift. Johan, hold your hand out. Okay. Here's a gift. Okay, just hold it. All right. Do you know what it is?
Oh, that sounds very promising.
All right, so it's a package, but you can't actually tell me what it is.
No, it's some sort of sweet, I guess.
You guess. You're pretty good, yeah? So what needs to happen for you to get to the next level of understanding what it is? You need to see it. Okay, let's take the blanket off. Okay. Okay, now just keep... It's pink. Okay, now what is it?
It's a package.
It's a package. What is it? There's something inside what? Okay. So what needs to happen?
I need to look inside it.
You need to look inside it. All right, look inside it. What is it? Take it out? It's Smarties. Okay, now just tell me about them.
They're small, round, colorful, very good to eat.
How do you know?
Be-
because I've had them before.
You've had them before. You've had a previous revelation. But now imagine you hadn't had them before.
Then this would be a package with a bunch of loose stuff inside.
Exactly. So what would need to happen for you to understand it better?
Well, I need to open it up.
Okay, so open it.
Okay, and I need to open this up as well.
Okay. What is it?
It's a small round thingy, but to really know what this is, I need to taste this.
Okay, go for it. So tell me about it now.
It's a small, colorful, very sweet chocolatey, sweetie.
What's chocolate?
It's chocolate. It's a milk substance and a delight to eat.
A delight to eat. Do you think I would enjoy it?
Yes, I do.
So,
if you like chocolate.
I do like chocolate. Okay, we'll stop there. Thanks, Johan. Yes, you may. Or you can keep more for yourself if you like. It's a reward. Good for you. What did we learn about revelation from this? And let's go to the next slide. The gift exists. It is there. All right, so before Johan even knew it was there, the gift existed. Okay? It was a gift that was intended for him, but he didn't even know about it. What's the next thing? We need to become aware of the gift's existence. And when he did become aware of his existence, why was it? He still had the blanket over him. It was because somebody told him about it. I told him about the gift. So he became aware of the existence of the gift because somebody told him. So that is why it is vital for each one of us to be faithful to tell the people around us of our revelation of Jesus Christ and of his gifts to us, so that they can become hungry for the same. And there are two parts to that. There is what we do as individuals, but there's also the role of the scriptures. If we do not read the scriptures, we will not be aware of much of what is available to us. Would you agree with me? We wouldn't understand that the Holy Spirit is being poured out on the earth so that we can receive him into ourselves and receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We wouldn't even know what the gifts of the Holy Spirit were if we didn't read. We wouldn't know how they operated and what it looked like when they operated if we were not part of a body where those gifts were in operation. Would you agree? It's true, isn't it? Okay, so the next step, we need to see the gift. Once Johann became aware of the existence of the gift, it still was of no benefit to him. The first step to receiving it was that he needed to see what it was. And so we need to ask the Lord to show us what it is that he wants us to know about. And that was like taking the blindfold off or the blanket off. The next step is to understand what the gift was. And that's where we need to ask the Lord to show us what it is that he wants to reveal to us now. And that final step was we need to experience the gift. And that was where he actually took the Smartie and ate it. And if you think about it, the only time that he could truly share with conviction about the Smartie was when he'd actually tasted it. Would you agree with me? Yeah. And that is how it is with us. With revelation, we can only truly share what we have received from the Lord when we have truly received it. The conviction and passion with which we can talk and share about what has been revealed to us is light years away from how it was before. Even though he knew what a Smartie was, perhaps, they were inside the packet. Until he opened the packet and ate the Smartie, it's just a whole different level. And now, our walk with the Lord, we need that kind of experience of who he is and how he feels about it. When I speak at the top about you are precious, it's not going to mean anything. It's just words until you have actually experienced revelation of that truth. And we need to seek it. And that's what I will keep talking about now. Okay, so you may say to me, you speak of hearing the Lord and of speaking to him and of receiving revelation from him. But how does it work practically? How? I mean, you can't see God. I think it's a reasonable question. When we know that we cannot actually see the Lord, And he is, after all, spirit. In other words, he doesn't have a physical form that we can understand, like the Smarties have a physical form. The Lord doesn't have a physical form. It's difficult to imagine how to communicate with him. And so I'll use a couple of very simple illustrations. We know there's a magnetic field around the earth, do we? Anybody here? Do you all know that there's a magnetic field? Right. How do we know that? Its effect, exactly. So, you've probably all seen this before, but it's an old marching compass. It belonged to my dad from the Second World War. This compass, if I keep it closed, it actually means nothing. It's not affected in a way that can be demonstrated to me of the magnetic field around the earth. But if I open it, pull hard. Yeah, there. Okay, now if you hold it, what happens?
The needle moves until it stops. Now it's stopped. It's starting to stop in a specific direction.
Okay, so the needle of the compass is influenced by the magnetic field on the earth, and it is indicating the fact that there's a magnetic field. And no matter where on the earth I go, that compass will demonstrate that effect. Okay, so the truth of the magnetic field is evidenced by its effect. You cannot see it, you cannot feel it, you cannot smell it, you cannot do anything to make it bigger or smaller, but it is there, and it's demonstrated by its effect. A second example might be, we all probably know that there are a huge number of radio signals in the air right around us now. Even this microphone that I'm holding is communicating with the sound desk over there using a radio signal. Okay, so I can't see it. And in fact, that radio signal from this microphone is completely useless unless the receiver is switched on. When we stop at a stop-go on the roads, the people who operate the stop-goes use two-way radios. Those two-way radios can communicate with one another, and that's very much the way that we speak with the Lord. We can't see him. We can't hear our voices on the other end, but we can hear his voice. And for me, one of the interesting things about that is that with a two-way radio, unless you release the button and stop talking, you won't hear the other party. And I have to tell you that prayer, that speaking to the Lord, is a lot like that. Until we stop talking and actually listen for his voice, it's unlikely that we'll hear him. Okay. So the radio waves are there, but we need to tune in. And it's the same with our relationship with the Lord, with hearing the Lord. We need to tune in to him. And let's look at the next scripture just to reinforce the thought. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. I've given you two translations there, the New Living and the ESV. For we live by believing and not by seeing. We walk by faith, not by sight. The same thing said in a slightly different way. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. As human beings, yes, we are created in the image of God, but we are finite. We are not like God. We are not infinite in that sense, okay? So our understanding of things is shaped by what we've learned. Johann understanding the Smartie was because he previously experienced the Smartie. If he'd never experienced a Smartie before, he wouldn't have understood what it was until he experienced it. So we can't rely on what we know, knowledge, data, information, to shape the way we communicate with the Lord. We have to look at what Scripture says, look at the testimony of the people around us, and in faith, by believing that God is who he says he is, start to communicate, trusting that when I speak to him, he will hear. And he will, because the Scripture tells me that he will. In my opinion, it's important for each one of us to understand that the Lord loves it when we are hungry and thirsty for him and for what it is that he offers us. What he did through Jesus Christ cost him more than we'll ever know or understand. It was a precious and very costly sacrifice, and we need to appreciate and value the truth of that. I think this may be part of the reason that he would have us taking our getting to know him and his will for us so seriously. He's not casual about it. He isn't casual about his relationship with us. He paid a huge price for us, and he wants us to take it seriously. Thank you. So when I say that he loves it when we're hungry and thirsty for him, It's not just like, moros nog 'n dag, and passively just kind of floating through life and letting life happen. God will have us engage with Him about our lives, about what is happening in our lives today and tomorrow and the next day, every day. He wants us to engage with Him. He is seriously interested in what you do. You might not think so, but He is interested in what you do. He's interested in what you think about. He's interested in the people around you as well. He really is. And He wants you to engage with Him about it. Passionately. Okay, we'll look at the next scripture now. Revelation 3:15 and 16. I know all the things you do. This is Jesus speaking. That you are neither hot nor cold. Oh, sorry. I wish that you were one or the other. But since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Revelation is a gift from the Lord through the Holy Spirit. And as with any gift, it has to be received and opened before it has any value to the recipient. Smarty's no good to Johanna until he opened it up and ate it, was it? So actively seek the gift. And when you receive it, open and appreciate it. Don't just leave it where you found it. Make it a part of how you live. That is living heart. So if the Lord reveals to you a certain aspect or gives to you perhaps a gift of the Holy Spirit, don't just say, wow, that's amazing. Goodness, look at that. I mean, wow, I must be special to the Lord. He gave me that gift. And then just put it on the shelf. You need to engage with the Lord about that gift and use it to His glory. Make it a hot life. Passionate, enthusiastic, with conviction. Take risks. Be prepared to be a fool for Christ. Now it's important at this stage to remember that much of the revelation we'll receive from the Lord will simply be a fresh or deeper understanding of Scripture, the Bible. And the reason for this is simple. The Scriptures have been given us for the reason outlined in the next Scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Easy to remember, John 3:16, 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. So unless you and I prepare to take the trouble to make use of this resource, the Bible, we're unlikely to receive much in the way of true revelation from and about the Lord and of His purposes and plans for us. That is just how it is. If you want to know something about that sound disc, read the manual. If you really want to know how it works, how to plug what into where, read the manual. If you want to do the Christian life, if you want to know how to relate to the Lord, read the manual. It's infallible. It's all here. And if you don't understand a particular aspect of it, ask the Holy Spirit, and He will, I promise you, reveal it to you. And it's important to remember that none of us are complete in our knowledge and never will be. We just don't have the capacity for that. So revelation is progressive. If we are hungry and thirsty for God and for our relationship with Him and knowing His will, He will reveal that to us. Over and over, new and deeper revelation, day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, for the rest of our lives. I find that enormously exciting. I really do. Let's read Hebrews 4, verses 12 to 16. For the Word of God is alive and powerful. Now remember that the Word of God is represented in two ways. It's through the Scriptures, the Bible, and through the person of Jesus Christ, who is manifested to us and through us by the Holy Spirit. Okay? Do you understand that? The Word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before His eyes, and He is the one to whom we are accountable. Now, the first time you read that scripture, you might think, wow, that is scary. I'm not at all sure that I want someone who will expose my innermost thoughts and desires. I mean, I know what I think and what my desires are, and actually, I don't really want other people to know them. But there are two things. Firstly, the Lord knows everything anyway. So the scripture is true. He knows your innermost thoughts and desires anyway. Fortunately, the people around you don't, in my case anyway. But the precious thing for me about this is if I understand who God is, if I have a revelation of his character and his attitude towards me and his plan for me and his purpose for me, this won't scare me. It'll be a, thank you, Jesus, you know me. So in other words, if I have these bad desires and I say to him, whoa, Lord, I know you see this and it is a bad desire, help me to deal with it, please. He will. That's amazing. That is such a reassurance to me. Let's go to the next verse, verse 14. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. And he talks about coming boldly. So there you are. There's nothing to hold you back. No matter what who says to you, no matter how much the enemy tries to distract you from it, the scripture tells you, come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. Jesus Christ has given you entrance to the throne room of his Father. Awesome. That is amazing. So, okay, let's go to the next scripture. I just want to put into practice what I've been talking about now. So we're going to read Psalm 139. We're going to read from 1 to 18. I'll read it for you, but what I want you to do now, where you are sitting, I'll give you a minute or so, just pray in your own words that the Lord will give you the revelation that he wants you to have as we read these words. Okay, so just pray now. Just Lord, thank you that you promise that when we are hungry and thirsty for you, when we are bold in our coming to you, you are there. And Lord, today I pray that every person in this congregation will be as fertile soil for the revelation that you want to plant in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, just listen quietly to what I read and see what they mean to you. See what the words mean to you. O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Verse 6. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to the heaven, you're there. If I go down to the grave, you're there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. Verse 12. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. Verse 16. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. What a beautiful psalm. It's a well-known and well-loved psalm for good reason. But what does it mean to me and what does it mean to you? Can you and I honestly celebrate with the psalmist, in this case David, do we really relate to and experience what he's saying here? And how do the words that we've read make us feel about me, about the Lord? Did anybody here receive a revelation while we read? Is there anything you'd like to share? Anybody? Be bold, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you. Nobody? Come on, it's got to be somebody. I know the Lord spoke to some of you. I think it's important.
Something just stood out to, that I believe the he just lit it up for me again, but that you sometimes, or especially with me, sometimes that I've, after getting saved, after giving my heart to God, you know, you think, okay, now it's fixed, it's sorted out, let's go for God. And then you fall down and you make mistakes because you've still got this flesh. Your spirit is now amazing and it's new and it's a new creation, but you've still got this flesh that's being purified the whole time. And then you fall down and you think, well, it's over, it's gone, it's done. I've made a mistake again now. Now it's all over again. And just something, well, while I read that, was that when you gave your heart to God, you already knew that you were going to fall down later on. But it was still worth it for Him to save you. It was still worth it that you gave your heart to Him, even knowing what stupid things you're going to do in the future. It was still worth it to save you at the beginning, because He knows where you're going, and He knows what He won't finish the work that He started in you. He'll bring it to completion. That was something.
Thank you. Anybody else? That's awesome, isn't it? That's special. Come on, nobody else. All right. I'll let you off the hook. I think it's important to realize that every one of us is unique. And we experience and learn things differently. And therefore, it's true to say that we each learn in a different way. I mean, that is just how it is. And this is why we each individually need to seek the Lord and the revelation that He offers to us. It doesn't help me to try and live on Johann's revelation. It doesn't help him to live on my revelation. It just doesn't work. We have to do it for ourselves. It won't do to hope that we can live out our lives based on someone else's revelation. It will not work. Okay, so now the final slide. You are precious. You are precious. You have been bought with a price. You are of incredible value. You are precious. You do have value and purpose. Your life is not hopeless. Your life is not a waste of time. You are not a waste of space. Your life has purpose. It has value. Seek the Lord and find that value. Find that purpose. You need to have an appetite for the Lord. Johann, could we have the guitar? Could you please hand out the communion elements, Jim, maybe? And while the guys are doing that, handing out the elements, maybe if you really battle a little bit with the whole significance of communion, just while the elements are being handed out, just ask the Lord in your own words to reveal to you what it is that He wants to show you about communion, okay, while we are sharing communion. And in preparation for that, the communion, thank you. Thanks very much. I hope that all of us know what communion is, but it is das Nachtmahlmos, ne? It is something that we do in remembrance of what Jesus did for us. In other words, every time we do this tiny little ceremony, we remind ourselves of what Jesus did for us and how amazing it is that He did it for me. Okay. Remember, there are only two things, only two ceremonies that Jesus left for us. The one is this one. The second one is water baptism, which is where we allow ourselves to be baptized as believers, believers' baptism. Okay, so there are only two things. So any other ceremony that somebody tries to impose on you, not scriptural. Okay. Jesus once said something that offended a lot of people. He said to them, "I am the bread of life." And thanks. The people were offended because they said, "How can you be bread? How can you expect people to eat you?" But it was prophetic. It was all about what was going to happen on the cross. He was explaining to them that what they had been doing for centuries up to then. They had been taking the showbread, the bread that was in the Holy of Holies, and the priest, the guy who was the sort of go-between for the community and the Lord, would eat that bread. And that was a portrayal of what Jesus was going to do. So, does everybody have elements? As you take this bread and eat it, just remember that Jesus went to the cross for you. It wasn't a general thing. It was specific to you and to me and to you and to you and to you and to every other person on the face of the earth. It was meant for you. Nobody was left out. The cross was inclusive. Okay, so think about that. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would speak to us as we share the communion today, that, Lord, we would understand what it is that it represents in a deeper way today. Lord, that that understanding or revelation would come in a way that would make us enthusiastic about it, that it would be something that would inspire us so that when we speak to other people about you, we would have a greater understanding of what it is that you've done and why you did it. And Lord, we take this bread today and we eat it in remembrance of the fact that you allowed your body to be broken on the cross so that we could be set free from the effect of sin and death. You may eat. Lord Jesus, as we take this grape juice as a symbol of the blood that you shed on the cross, we remember the fact that you showed us that you make it enough. And as we take this juice, Lord, we celebrate the fact that your death on the cross was enough to deal with every sin that I've ever committed. And we thank you for that, Lord. We may drink. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for setting us free from sin and death, from the effect of sin and death, and for giving us an understanding that we are precious, that you considered us worthy to die for. Thank you, Lord, that you gave us a value, great value and purpose, that when you created us in your image, you created us with a plan in mind, and each and every one of us was made by you for now, for here, to fulfill that part of the plan and purpose that you have for us. And Lord, I pray that you would inspire in us an appetite for you and for finding out what it is that you would have us be and how you would have us behave and what that plan and purpose are, in Jesus' name. Will you stand with me, please? Just right there where you're standing, pray in your own words that the Lord would remind you to stay hungry for him. Just pray in your own words. Lord, I do pray that you would constantly remind us that we need to stay hungry for you, that we need you, that we can't do it without you, Lord. Lord, while we in ourselves are finite and have a very limited capacity, you are infinite and you make us enough, Lord. So I pray that we would be hungry and thirsty in our relationship with you and for understanding what it is that you have for us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, everybody. You can enjoy some coffee. If anybody would like us to pray with you for anything at all, remember, God is enough. Okay, enjoy the rest of the day.